KUJZ is 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at Guarantee RV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Let's just move along. It's the Wednesday edition of Sports Talk. It has arrived. And we appreciate y'all checking in. The program is called Sports Talk. It's 95.3 The Score. You could dive on in, 284-8571. It's your Oregon fuel injection hotline. Hit us up on text 3210824 on Twitter at 953 at Sports Talk 953 for the station at Oh my God, Sports Talk 953 is me.
That's a dollar.
And I don't even know what's yours again at Rick Nodgers.
That's the one. Yeah.
What's the station? What station do we work for?
The station is at 953 The Score. Right. Yours is at Sports Talk 953. Mine is at Rick Nodgers.
How long has, I mean, I know you don't know this answer, but when I first came over here in May of 08, it was still an AM station. Not for much longer. It was, I think, AM 1320, or was it AM 1280? I always forget. But then we took the FM frequency, which is kind of ironic, because it was exactly 27 years ago tonight that I signed on 95.3 when it was a music station, Cave Radio, and it was the last time we would be on the air after a 2.5 year run. 27 years ago tonight, that station went off the air. I know many of you were listeners and chimed in back in the day. Joey Mack will join us at the bottom of the hour to talk a bunch of Duck sports. I was listening to that story on the potential new golf tour to rival the PGA. Yeah, because that's going to happen. The news from Jay Bouwmeester, the defenseman for the St. Louis Blues who collapsed last night on the bench, and there was no indication as to the level of distress he was in. It turns out the defibrillator had to be used to revive him. And so the quick action of his teammates in recognizing what that this could potentially be a lethal circumstance. And I was reading, first, every NHL arena has to have, you know, all the proper EMS. They have a triage area, but a doctor has to be within 50 feet of each bench at all times. So, you know, you could figure from the time he was able to skate off under his own power, reach for his water bottle, went down, they called him. I mean, you know, you don't have to be a medical professional to understand the value of time when you're down, lacking oxygen, you know, lacking a heartbeat or something like that. So mega kudos to the reaction time. And he's stable. And as we are speaking right now, kind of knock on wood. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Also, the departure of Mel Tucker from Colorado to Michigan State. which has set the world into a turmoil not seen since the Black Plague of the Middle Ages. As far as the NBA goes, I don't know how I got into this conversation with somebody, but it was like, who are like the top 5 to 7 all-time lock lottery picks? Like, that's what people were playing for, you know, when they did suck for luck in the NFL. Except you didn't go first, so you just contradicted your answer.
That's the joke, Steve.
Okay, wasn't that funny? You've done better today.
I know, but it was also a good dig at Portland fans. They're kind of having a bad time. You know, they're not
kick
playing
when
very
they're down.
Well. Yeah, just a little bit. Just, hey, remember, you didn't take Kevin Durant.
I want to address a few of you who are saying, why are you in favor of expanding the baseball playoffs but not the college football playoffs?
Ooh.
It's an interesting question, except it's the easiest answer I've ever. And I can't believe you guys can't answer that yourself, because I keep saying the same thing over and over again, but it just doesn't get through because some of you have that borderline cement head force field. I also want to talk about the laugh that the Houston Astros think they're going to hold a press conference tomorrow, offer an explanation for the cheating scandal, and that's it. It's going away for the rest of the year. Oh, also, we're on the eve of a pretty big college basketball weekend here in Pac-12 country. By the way, a rarity. Tomorrow night, every Pac-12 team plays. That's not frequent. That doesn't happen all the time. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Steven. Steven, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good evening, Steve Tannen. Beautiful night in Cape Coral, Florida, 77 degrees. What is your gut telling you about the Blazers and also about the Golden State Warriors playing the Suns tonight? I am very thankful that Stephen Curry recovered from his injury of his broken hand. And I want to say happy early Valentine's Day to everybody in this nation.
All right. Thanks a lot. Hey, I wish we were national, but could you refer to Steven as more of a diehard Warriors fan by the fact that he's locked into the 12-42 Warriors playing the 21-33 Suns?
That's a fan.
That is a fan. Blazers aren't playing again tonight, are they? After last night, do you think maybe they should reschedule the game?
Every NBA team, there should, yeah, because like there's so many days off after the All-Star break, right? So you would think every NBA team gets one game before the All-Star break where they're like, nope,
pass.
We're pushing this one to the All-Star break. We're going to take a day less
it's
of our vacation.
An individual team's ability to flex than the network.
Exactly. And they're just like, no, we'll put the game on NBA TV, make it a marquee game. Portland, we can't play Memphis tonight. We just can't do it.
No, the funny thing is, because whenever a player can't play, the coach has to offer up a reason. And so Neil Stotts would put in the application to have the game postponed temporarily. We gave up 138 points last night. We are terrible on defense. I just can't run this team out there again, especially back-to-back on the road. I mean, that looks like pain waiting to happen. Although, now I'm getting kind of greedy because I'm seeing Portland did not play really well. I guess they shot pretty well. It was Damian couldn't throw it in the ocean, and they shot like crap from three-point land. So my first thought is, how's that over looking like? Is that a 5 o'clock start?
It is.
It's got to be.
Yep.
So Blazers, oh my God in heaven. The over-under is 235. That's a lot of points. I mean, they're talking 120 to 118. I've only made one bet since the Olympics, since the Super Bowl. And I'm telling you, during a break, I may throw a nice 20-25er down on the over in that game.
I know Giannis is not playing. This is also, I'm looking at the Oregon Lottery app. I know Giannis isn't playing because he just had a son, so he's on.
I thought he was playing tonight. He's definitely not playing
tonight. That's the thing. I don't know. The Bucks are getting a point and a half, and that seems kind of strange to me. That seems like a bad line.
On the road at Indy, Indy is good. They're just in the midst of an awful. They got their best player back, or one of their best players back, in Victor Oladipo, and they've lost one of. I think they're 1-5 with him. Doesn't make sense. And like I said, there's not much like the road in the NBA during the week where it's just like inexplicable, the betting line and the result.
That doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to look up and see if Giannis isn't playing, but I think I'm taking the point and a half with the Bucks. It seems like something they should kind of run away with.
All right, Hamilton.
I don't know.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump on in, text us 321-0824. So the conversation started with an anniversary. That was it. This is the 35th anniversary. Somebody just texted that the Greek Freak is not playing. But 35 years ago was the first NBA draft lottery where they had expanded, and it was a matter of everybody knew they were playing the 1985 season to see who was going to get Patrick Ewing. I mean, you look at who else was in the draft. There were some guys that would have decent careers. Oof, the late Wayman Tisdale, Chris Mullen, Charles Oakley. Karl Malone was in that draft. But at LA Tech, I'm telling you, he was not viewed as a high-level prospect. Hey, Joe Dumars was in that draft as well, as was A.C. Green out of Oregon State and Terry Porter. But, Ewing was the prize, and while he didn't deliver a title, I mean, they did draft a Hall of Famer, a first ballot Hall of Famer, with the first pick, ironically the last thing the Knicks did right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Mark. Mark, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good, good. How are you today, Steve?
All right, what's up?
Well, I just wanted to, I was listening, you were talking about the Blazers, the over-under on that, and I thought I heard you say something about it being a very high number, but then you said you were going to bet the over.
Yeah, that's why, because when it gets that high, it looks unrealistic, and with me, I always like to go against the flow when people think there's no way they're going to score that many points. That's when it usually ends up 137-126.
Right on. Okay, I understand now.
Yeah,
I really appreciate you. Great show. Love listening to you every day.
Hey, appreciate that, Mark. Thanks a lot. Now, hopefully Mark can call back tomorrow when the final score is 98-97 and say, oh, and by the way, maybe you should have paid attention because you're a knucklehead.
So Giannis is not playing, but I'm still taking my Bucks with the point and a half, and I'm parlaying it with the over in the Lakers Nuggets game. It's at 220 and a half.
Did you imagine you'd ever have this conversation
nope.
6 months ago?
Nope. I'd have been a crazy person. I wouldn't even have cared about the line. I wouldn't have looked up.
You probably wouldn't have understood it.
I would have understood plus and minus. I've done that kind of betting before. I understand the game lines, but now I'm in a whole new world. I've been really good on some hockey parlays that I've put down recently. I think in the past week I've hit 2 3-team parlays, which has been incredible.
Nice.
It's pretty solid. I'm feeling good. Thinking about pairing up with Lee Sterling out in Florida, just leaving you here, Miami Beach, doing his thing. Oh, I think it's going to be fantastic. And then I lose a bet and I'm like, no, I need to keep work. I need to delete the app. I can't lose all my money. I can't do this, but I'm feeling good. This is fantastic. What a rush, huh?
People are
at the Bucks. Can we get the Bucks game on? When does it start?
A lot of people are chiming in on take the points, take the under, take the over. So I like the fact that folks might be jumping on and using the app and getting in on the action. And remember, the old off-track betting motto for New York that was made, revived somewhat by I forgot who the guy who came over from Italy and became like the lead hitman for The Sopranos. Better with your head, no over. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. All right. So the subject surfaced of baseball's new proposal to expand the playoffs substantially from 10 teams to 14. It would get to the point where the best record in the American and National League would get a bye in the wild card round. And whichever division winner with the best record would get to pick its opponent. I mean, the details right now aren't important. So somebody's like, a couple of you, well, why do you support expansion in baseball but hate the idea in college football? Baseball is on life support for some important demographics and generations. Their regular season starts in late March and goes through early October, and a lot of people just tune out. People like the playoffs. College football has the single greatest regular season ever. Every quarter matters. It's just like you've seen some years a team playing in September got a tough loss or a conference loss. I mean, with Oregon this year, for example, they missed the playoff, not because they lost to Auburn, but because they lost at Arizona State. So why would you take one of the greatest things in sports and mess with it when there's no need? I mean, does anybody feel less passionate about the Ducks or college football than they did a year ago, 2 years ago? Is there a younger generation that's... Well, remember, the younger generation saw it expanded 5 years ago. It doubled. So for the 11 trillionth time, college football's regular season is the best regular season, and I don't even think it's close. Why mess with that? Make it unique. Make regular season. I mean, let's face it. An MLB game on July 11th between the Giants and the Rangers. I'm even going to allow interleague. The loser there ain't out of it.
Is that at AT&T or is it at Globe Life Park?
Globe Life.
Man, the Giants, they don't have their DH situation figured out. I'm going to have to go with the Rangers there. It could be a big one. Interleague record might end up being a thing. It was a rematch of the 2010 World Series. I think it's going to be pretty important. Must watch.
But the bottom line is, if you lose, let's say the North looked like it was going to be Oregon and Cal, and the Ducks went down to Berkeley, and in the second quarter, the starting quarterback twisted an ankle. They came in, they tried to run it, and they lost 17-16. At week four, you could be like, well, that could have really damaged their chances to win the division, qualify for the playoff, and get into the Rose Bowl. No other sport can say that. Why would you want to mess with that?
I agree that the regular season is very important and all of the games matter. And I don't see four more teams getting in necessarily devaluing the regular season. But I think what the basis of this comes down to is with more teams being able to get into the playoffs, that means more teams think they have a shot at winning the World Series. You're going to see more teams making the playoffs. And the fun of sports in football and kind of in baseball is rooting for the underdog, seeing if there is a Cinderella story that's out there. Maybe a random team gets in under 500 at 80-82 or whatever, and they somehow grab the 7 seed. Some team that won 109 games picks them because they're garbage, and boom, they win. You know, they sweep them in 2 games in the best of 3, and like that, it's over. And here comes this Cinderella story. Like, that's the fun part of sports at that point. Obviously, it's not fun if you're a fan of the team that won 109 games, but seeing the teams on the field actually battle it out to me is way more interesting than just saying, we're picking and we're just kind of stopping it there like they kind of do with the top four in college football. It's just, let's see if UCF can make a run.
Here's my problem. You're going to get a year if you go to 8 where a team or two, what if there's 2 unbeaten teams? and that's it, going into championship week. Those two teams, you could make a case, the conference championship game no longer matters because they're a lock to be in. And it's like, I don't ever want to see that in college football. There's my case.
Yeah, that's fair, but...
I know it's fair, because it's accurate.
But the conference championship game isn't the regular season. Isn't that technically a postseason game at that point? Because it's after the regular season is done with.
It's a late season game. Or it could actually get to a point where... What if we have one of those crazy seasons like 07 where there's one unbeaten? Let's say Alabama's the only unbeaten. There's a one-loss team, and like... three or four two-loss teams, you could actually make the point if they've already got the West locked up, Alabama-Auburn has no value. They don't need to even win that game, and they could still get in the playoffs. So you could have a late November game for a contender in college football have no meaning? Nah, to me, that's just – I'm not willing to take that risk.
But you lose the value of – one Alabama-Auburn game, maybe not being very good.
Well,
too.
It could be Michigan-Ohio State.
Well,
it could
you're
be
right. That's the thing is maybe your attention in another game is shifted to something else that matters. Like, let's see if this other random rivalry game that we don't even know what they're playing for, and we learn the name of the rivalry game because all of a sudden they are playing for something, and it shifts your focus away from just the big teams at the top that are always in to some other teams that are fighting for a chance. I would like to see the four other teams get in with some absolute like check boxes that need to be checked to guarantee that a team is in. Like all the conference champions are in, so you've got to want to win your conference championship game, even at the hope of if you lost and you only have one loss, like you might not get in because gets in.
I love the fact that you could win your conference championship and not get in the playoffs.
That sounds horrible.
It's cutthroat. It's
that
what makes
sounds
it special.
Horrible.
How, yet we've somehow survived.
Barely, Steve.
All right. Before we go to break, I want to hit you with Big Al State Farm's trivia question. The way it works is I'll ask you the question. You'll text me, not call. Do not pick up your phone and dial anything. 321-0824 at Big Al State Farm. They want to make sure you're doing enough to protect your family. He and his team will take an in-depth look at all of your insurance needs. And you could pop in on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart. You can call 686-1522. Check out the website, BigAlEugene.com. And, get a quote, stop by their office, and, learn about what can occur when you're not properly covered. Again, Big Al State Farm here to help life go right. So I ask you the question. You hit me up with the correct answer via text, 321-0824, and if you're the first one to get it right, you win a $10 prepaid gift card. All right. For some reason, I started thinking about Colorado. I ended up in Colorado football page, and I was looking. Their all-time leading rusher is Eric Bieniemy, the current offensive coordinator of the Super Bowl winning Chiefs. There's Philip Lindsay, Rodney Stewart. Remember Bobby Purify? He was the running back who was their lead dude when Oregon beat him in the 2002 Fiesta Bowl. My question is, who is the only Colorado running back who's fifth on their all-time rushing list to ever win the Heisman Trophy? 321-0824. Do that. First one to get it right wins. We'll be back. We'll have a Coors Light update and the answer and our conversation coming at you with Joey Mack talking Duck Sports next. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at Guarantee.com.
Reported by The Athletic, confirmed by ESPN, Tucker will leave Colorado after just 1 year as head coach. And in a tweet from this past Saturday, Tucker reaffirmed his commitment to Colorado. This was when people started putting these rumors out that maybe he would go to Michigan State. And he tweets this out saying he's going to stay with all these hashtags. He's committed to the CU Bucks program.
or not. That was ESPN Get Up this morning talking about the decision by Mel Tucker to leave Colorado and become the Michigan State coach as we welcome you back to Sports Talk. By the way, the trivia answer was too easy. I got lazy there. Courtesy of Big Al State Farm on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart, the lone Colorado player to win the Cy Young Award. That would be a neat trick. Wow. To win the Heisman is Rashan Salaam, the late Rashan Salaam back in 1994. Anyway, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Talk a variety of Duck sports. Who better? Guy who brings us baseball, men's hoops, Duck Insider, football, a game-by-game sock update on Twitter. Follow along. Use the handle at Joey Mac UO. Joey Mac checks in. Joe, how you doing on this wonderful Wednesday?
I'm great, Steve. Wednesday is actually one of my favorite days of the week. And it's funny because it's one of the few days that I actually could join you on the show because it's often the day where men's basketball has a little bit of a shorter practice and there's really not often any sports going on. So it's usually the day that, to take a quote out of your book, I go home, enjoy a nice cordial, and it's going to be a very good Wednesday night. Why not Wednesday?
All right. I'm in. And now I make a mental note of that. So, you know, I was listening driving home last night, and you were talking about the newest member of your baseball broadcast team, and a lot of us have known about him from his days when he worked with the Emeralds, and we get a nice contrast, of course, you being a Giants fan, he's a Dodgers fan, but for folks who aren't aware, what could you tell us about the addition of Alex Stimpson and what his role will be?
Well, truly, and I meant what I said last night on the show, truly, he has one flaw as a human, and that is the fact that he is a Dodgers fan.
Right.
Now, the running joke has always been that Jerry Allen is a Dodgers fan. I am a well-documented Giants fan. Somehow we've made it work for the last 7-8 years. But more importantly, Terry Johns, who has now worked with Jerry for about 20 years, is also a Giants fan. So I'd like to point out that Giants fans outnumbered Dodgers fans until Alex came on board. Now, on the OSN team, we have 2-2. So that should tell you how highly me, Terry, everybody else thinks of Alex. Jerry's opinion doesn't matter because he's a Dodgers fan. He just needed help in that category anyway. That should tell you how much we actually care about this guy and think that he's going to be a really valuable addition. But the running joke that Jerry and Terry have worked together for so long, they made it work. I'd like to think that Alex and I can make it work. Though, when the Giants and Dodgers play, there's a strong possibility if we are doing a broadcast for baseball that day that we will not talk to each other except being on the mic. But Alex is a great guy. People are really going to enjoy listening to him. So much passion for the Ducks. He's a Duck. He's done PA for about 6-7 different Oregon sports.
Right.
He emceed a little bit inside Matthew Knight Arena with Don Essig for a year. He's done a ton of stuff behind the scenes, and it just seemed fitting that we could get him now behind the mic again. He's got a lot of experience doing play-by-play for hockey. You mentioned the M. Just an all-around good dude, and I'm really looking forward to working with him. And for fans that are wondering, Todd Miles is not going anywhere. Our boy Todd is still the sports information director for Oregon baseball. We just didn't want to have him be doing 5 jobs at once, one of which was the radio, because sports information directors really do like 3 or 4 jobs at once. So we decided to bring Alex in to help Todd out. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, kind of difficult to fit all those hats into his car. By the way, curious as to one thing, because it's kind of a rare crossover. Normally when one team is home, the other's on the road. I know you get to watch. I guess you get to see them practice occasionally. And I know you have Kelly Graves on frequently. How much do you actually get to watch or really keep up with this amazing women's basketball team?
Well, I do a better job, I think, than you might realize. Just because it is nice now that I admit that every women's game is on TV. You know, this is the first year that every women's game has been on at least the Pac-12 network for the conference games. And because we rarely overlap with them, I actually am usually spending my Friday on the road or my Sunday at home watching the women's game. I do my best to keep up with it. And, you know, that's really a habit that I've had since before I was calling men's basketball and traveling with men's basketball, because my initial role with OSN was to call baseball, help with football, but really host the show. You know, I was supposed to cover everything. And so, you know, the funny thing is I've just never really gotten out of that habit. I'm still keeping track of and watching as many different Duck sports as I can. And I've only been to 3 women's games this season. And that's the one thing that I'm missing out on, is that great environment at Matthew Knight Arena. And I'll tell you what, Steve, the game against Washington is already sold out.
Right.
And then it's the Friday night against Washington State in a couple weeks after the women have those back-to-back road trips. That game, there's still some tickets available. But for fans listening, if you're thinking like, oh, man, like, you know, I'd like to go to one of the last games, you need to decide now. You need to go. Because there's not going to be tickets left. It's really been a lot of fun to follow what they've built, and I think that they're nowhere close to done yet, which is even more exciting.
Oh, no, and for folks who haven't seen them yet, you will regret it down the road if you miss out. You also had softball coach Lombardi on, and obviously her first season, let's just refer to it as trying, change, player defections, and they just played and won all 5 games in Puerto Vallarta, and while it's really early, it's just, is there a logic with they successfully recruited with talent like Haley Cruz coming back that this team is just going to be stronger and deeper and just better than it was a year ago?
That's a good answer. I'll take it. I think that there's a lot of truth to that, to be honest with you. Yeah, they did recruit really well. I mean, Ariel Carlson, a local kid, I think a lot of people are excited to see her. And, you know, I've been to now 1.5 softball practices, just kind of being around the team a little bit. And I mean, she bombs it, Steve. Like, she's putting balls onto the tennis court from Jane Sanders Stadium. I mean, it's pretty crazy. So she's just one example of someone to get excited about. But really, the way that they were able to restock the roster with transfers, Brooke Yanez might end up being one of the best pitchers in the conference, and particularly on the staff, she may end up being the ace. Brooke Yanez was just named the National Pitcher of the Week for her efforts striking out almost Oregon record 17 in a single game. She's in second place in the record books in her debut. That's not a bad debut, huh? And she transferred in from UC Davis. It's kind of funny because my sister is actually the academic advisor or one of them in the UC Davis athletic department, and she actually knows Brooke a little bit. And so her coming up here, my sister gave me the scouting report. She's like, Duck fans are going to love her. She's a competitor. She's got great stuff. And I think that her complimenting Jordan Dale, the other two pitchers that Coach Lombardi brought in, I mean, you think about how many games the Ducks won last year really having to ride the arm of Jordan Dale.
Yep.
Now they have so many more options. If their offense improves at least a little bit, you got to think they're going to win way more games. They're a top 25 team in the rankings right now. I think that they certainly deserve to be. I'm really curious to see how this team performs in Pac-12 play, and I hope that fans come back out and really support this team at Jane Sanders Stadium. It was a tumultuous first year for a lot of different reasons. Anytime you have a head coaching change, it's really hard on a program. But I hope that as Coach Lombardi continues to, I think, build something pretty special at Oregon and get Oregon softball back into national contention, I think fans are going to really like what they see.
I want to get to some men's hoops, talking with Joey Mack. So I was watching the Civil War Saturday night, and you get into like the final 10 minutes, and I'm like, did they just slip in the tape from Stanford a week ago? It's just, we're so used to this team being better and finding answers. And of course there are injuries and the tragedy that Okoro had to deal with, but almost strange to see them from one game to another kind of run into the same struggles offensively down the stretch as they did against OSU and Stanford.
Yeah, it is. It really was like, you know, a broken record. And you know, the fact that they both ended up being 10-point losses, I just kind of was scratching my head at the end of the game, like, man, this really felt exactly like the Stanford game. And, you know, that was the first thing that Coach Altman said when he sat down. As you can imagine, he was pretty frustrated and not all that happy when he sat down post game at Gill Coliseum to talk with me. And, you know, he just said, look, that's now a couple road games where it's really become our MO that we have a lead in the second half. We go through these terrible stretches and then we end up not being able to close things out. And, you know, he's right. That is what the MO of the team has been on the road in the last few games. They've done it three times, and every team in college basketball is going to be better at home than they are on the road. But man, the Ducks are sure finding ways to lose that just make you scratch your head and go, boy, what's going on there? And I think that the Ducks know that. They always say that sometimes you have to lose in order to really learn a harsh lesson. It's a lot easier to just be like, we don't need to worry about it when we win. And the way that the Ducks have hit those offensive woes and the way the defense just hasn't really helped them out on the road has really made a big difference in Oregon's season. And look, Thursday's game, tomorrow's game is huge.
Oh, yeah.
Steve. I mean, this is a really, really, really important game for Oregon men's basketball because the Ducks had aspirations of winning the Pac-12. I mean, they knew going into this season they had the talent to do it, particularly with Peyton Pritchard leading the way. Well, right now, Colorado's a game up on them in the standings. They already have a win over them. So unless Oregon wins this game, let's just say it's going to be really, really hard for Oregon to accomplish that goal of winning the Pac-12. So I hope that fans are going to come out. And I know it's a little early on a Thursday, and I can't figure out if fans would prefer a 6 o'clock tip on a Thursday, a 7 o'clock tip on a Thursday. I don't think anybody really likes the 8 o'clock tip on a Thursday. But, you know, I hope that fans will come out and support this team because it's so interesting with men's basketball right now. The Ducks have 18 wins, and they're still a top 20 team, and it's like something's gone wrong. You know, that's what's kind of amazing to think about sometimes is Dane Altman's teams do tend to click down the stretch, and I think fans are going to want to be there to see that click take place.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's still so much to play for. They're right there. So for all the problems they're having, it's like let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. I do need to ask you a football question. Obviously, there's been reaction, the departure of cornerback coach Dante Williams to USC, and I would never be dismissive of a position coach who's got his rep for recruiting, but isn't that kind of, you know, the deal? When you have success, your staff becomes attractive. So I guess what is your read of what have you heard about, I don't know, maybe the impact of his departure?
Well, it's certainly impactful on the guys. I mean, you know, you saw the reaction on Twitter from some of the guys that were like, oh, man, like, this sucks. And it does suck, you know. But you're right, Steve. I mean, if your program isn't constantly getting poached or at least potentially poached with assistant coaches, then you're probably not winning a whole lot of games and you're probably not going to be around that long anyway. You know, I think that it is a hit to Oregon because, one, Dante Williams, just a great guy. Like, I've gotten to know him at least a little bit from doing the show and doing the coaches' shows with him. And, you know, he's just a good guy. You can see why he's such a good recruiter and regarded as one of the best recruiters in the country. And, you know, I think that it is a big loss, and it's certainly going to be hard on the team. But at the same time, I think that the team and everybody understands that this is kind of the nature of the beast. You know, you're going to get great opportunities if you're a successful assistant coach. And I think as long as Coach Cristobal continues his recruiting strategy, that is, there isn't one guy that's recruiting every player. Sure, maybe there's a relationship built with a particular position coach because that's the position that the recruit is going to play. But the way that Oregon goes about recruiting, their strategy has been in the Coach Cristobal era that they have one guy that kind of oversees his position group, but then he also oversees a region. And so it's often the case that there's multiple, quote-unquote, lead recruiters for different recruits for Oregon. As a result of that, when a coach does leave, it's not as big of an impact on the recruiting trail. Now, to your point about the position coach aspect, no doubt, from a development standpoint for the cornerback, it's a hurt. I mean, that's going to hurt those guys. And I'm curious to see what Coach Cristobal does and who he brings in. And because you know, as long as Coach Cristobal is here, he's going to want to find a guy that recruits hard, that coaches hard, and is just as intense as he is. You know, that's going to be his MO. There's not going to be a staff in the country, and particularly a head coach in the country, that gets that it doesn't get outworked by Coach Christensen.
Oh, yeah.
He is relentless, that's for sure.
All right, folks, he's Joey Mack. Always appreciate your time, plus the upfront and personal insight you bring to the table. On Twitter, it's at Joey Mack UO. He'll be behind the mic. Like he said, tomorrow is a beast. 6 o'clock at Matthew Knight Arena. Share of the conference on the line. Joey, have a great broadcast, my friend. Always great catching up. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. And by the way, you're both nuts. The baseball plan for doing playoffs that way. Come on, guys. No. I heard the conversation earlier. No, you don't want to change. You can't be picking teams that you're playing in the playoffs. No.
All right, and remember, you represent a younger generation, so that counts more than me because they already got me.
Yeah, well, maybe I'm just an old soul, so you probably should listen to Nick anyway.
Thanks a lot, Joey. Have a good one. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, an old soul, a merry old soul. All right, break time is upon us. We'll do just that. We'll come back and wrap up the 4 o'clock hour, 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top 5 RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
We started to see even more stuff kind of leak out, and it's been really interesting. With any leak report, you would expect that to kind of begin to shut the door on the evidence that has come out on a scandal, and this has kind of only just been the beginning. We've seen more and more stuff come out over the course of the last couple weeks, and it's only going to keep putting more fuel on the story.
That's June Lee, ESPN, about this Astro fantasy. That they're going to have a press conference day 2 of camp, and then day 3 people are like going to be, oh, so what do you think about your middle relief pitching? And this too shall pass. What was it, George Harrison's great album, All Things Must Pass? This is never passing. You think that Houston's going to go into Boston or New York and they're, I mean, think about when the juicer showed up, the pictures of syringes. I mean, every time a guy screws up in sports, they hear about it. You cheated to win a title? You think this isn't going to be an endless barrage of reminding you what scumbags you are? Good God. Talk about delusion.
Karen, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
That's the thing. They think it's going to make it better, and this is what they're going to do. And
By the way, leaning on the Costanza philosophy has never lent itself to a modicum of success.
He got that job with the Yankees, didn't he? He said all these great things. I think it worked out for George.
It was fictional.
Oh, it was?
Did you realize that until just
based
now?
On a real story, I thought.
No, it was filmed in front of a live studio audience. That's what's confusing.
No, it was real life stories of things that happened to real people in the 80s. He talked to Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter was not fake, Jeter. Steve.
Remember he was when George went through his I'm not having sex phase and became an intellect and was using angles and designs, and he had Bernie Williams and Derek Jeter out there, and he's hitting homers over the walls, and he's, you should do this, you should do that, and Jeter's like, we won the World Series. George is like, yeah, 6 games. Somebody made up a meme of that for, you know, I got into the Hall of Fame, and George is like, yeah, 99.1% of the vote. It's like, step up your game, dude. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You know, I want to talk about the Astros. I want to talk about the history of the NBA lottery. I want to talk about this new golf tour that Tiger Woods has confirmed that he's had contact with the PGL, the Premier Golf League, a global circuit that they think is going to rival the PGA Tour. Yeah, I don't think so. But anyway, something we joked about a few weeks ago actually went through the entire process and landed on the desk of an Ohio Medical Board committee. Remember we said that there were Browns fans and Bengals fans in Ohio who said to alleviate the pain of being fans of those franchises, it should qualify them for a medicinal marijuana card. So they were trying to take advantage of a law that was enacted in 2016 that could allow them to purchase weed medicinally. It was filed in December. There were multiple petitions filed, and their logic was, in three of the past 4 years, one of those two has been the worst in the NFL. It got rejected. That wouldn't have opened up a Pandora's box or anything.
Was it on the basis that he is a Browns and Bengals fan, or it's just that Browns and Bengals fans should be able to actually medicate themselves with marijuana because they are fans?
The reason given was the petition just lacked the required support to continue within the process.
All right, so you find
because it can't just be one person.
You find
there's got to be like an actual outcry of people outside these dispensaries. Like, so you have glaucoma? Okay, you have, you know, you're undergoing this treatment. I'm a Browns fan. Believe it or not, there weren't that many.
Sir, the tag on your T-shirt is still on. You clearly just bought this for marijuana.
Right.
No, so you just find a kid in law school who just redrafts the proposal a second time, and you try again. That kid in law school would probably do anything to be like, this is better than any job I could get on my resume.
You know what? Hindsight makes life really easy. But I'll tell you what. So Cleveland rejoined the NFL in 1999. So you've had the Browns and Bengals. If at that time the average fan was asked, do you think in the next two decades either franchise will win one playoff game? They haven't. That's unbelievable. Give them the weed.
Give it to them.
I don't know about transporting across state lines, but come out here. It's on me. This is terrible. I mean, we could be snarky, but seriously, two franchises, 21 seasons, not one playoff win. That's brutal. They qualify. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. 5 o'clock hours next, 95.3 The Score.
There's nothing real in the world anymore.